Well, good evening or good afternoon. Welcome back. Good to have you all here. The blessings to report on the past 3 weeks. Thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for everything that made the Africa trip possible. I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer and then start working our way through the pictures, working our way through the maps, and then just start taking some of your questions, because I figure if I don't save enough time for questions and answers, then that's not a good thing. So make sure we have time before we depart for questions and answers. But first of all, let me start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your provision. We thank you, Father, for not only this time today to discuss your faithfulness and your grace, but for the ministry that you provided in Kenya and Uganda and Zambia. Father, thank you for Grace Notes and the fruit that Grace Notes bears in so many countries around the world. Father, we do ask for your hand of blessing upon our time today for the report that's given. We know from Acts 13, other chapters, that missionary reports are biblical, they are encouraging, they are edifying. And I pray, Father, that we would be blessed by the encouragement that comes from knowing that your plan is being accomplished, not only here, but around the world, Father. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I tell you, if you have never done a short-term mission trip, I recommend that you do so, and do so before the end of this calendar year. Well, do so when you can. There is a value in it. My first mission trip was in 2004, and that was to the Philippines. And when I went back in 2008, I took my 16-year-old son, and I think there's a benefit to leaving the United States, to traveling to other countries, to seeing brothers and sisters in those countries and the conditions in which they conduct their Christian walk. And all of that is true everywhere I've ever gone, but it is five times as true in Africa. All right? The circumstances and the conditions on the ground in Kenya and Uganda and Zambia not even the Philippines, I think, prepared me for some of the things that we experienced and saw and ate and drank and everything there. So anyway, I'm thankful the Lord provided for that. I don't know that he ever will again, but I'm thankful that he did, and I just do rejoice for having made the trip. The poster behind me is one of about eight different posters that Benny made. He was the first of the pastors that we worked with in Kenya. Let me just say, the purpose for this trip is because Grace Notes has been around for about 20 years, and in fact, exactly 20 years, from 1994. But in these recent years, the Lord has opened more doors than ever before, and those doors are being opened for classes on the ground in some of these places. Pastors like Pastor Benny, or Apostle Benny is his title. A lot of these pastors have church groups, have other groups, and they have people that don't have email, don't have internet access, can't subscribe to Grace Notes on their own, or if they could, their English skills are not such that they would do well subscribing to Grace Notes on their own. And so it's happened now in several African countries, plus Philippines and some other places, that live Grace Notes courses are taking place based on the email courses. And not really even all that different from what we do in PMW. When we do a Doctrine 100 course or a Doctrine 200 course, that the folks are doing it at home. They come together on Sunday. We answer their questions. We go through the quizzes together. Much of what we're doing here at Austin Bible Church on a PMW basis is what they're doing in these countries. And so the idea came about a year ago that we really need to put boots on the ground. The idea is that there's some of these men that we don't know. Well, none of them we really know in person. We only know them by email. We only know them by Facebook. Some of them we don't know, but there's things that we're starting to learn that we're not comfortable with. And we thought, you know, we really ought to meet them. We really ought to see them. And some of it came back again to that experience in the Philippines when Pastor Cliff and I went over to the Philippines, or when Larry Hoffman and I went to the Philippines the first time in 2004. The fact that we met the people that had been under training. We met the pastors that had trained under Ralph and Cindy LaRosa. We met them. We met the people that they trained. And so seeing their students and seeing them in their ministries really told you everything you needed to know about Ralph and Cindy LaRosa. Told you everything you needed to know about what kind of ministry they have based upon the students that they graduate, the ministries that they had. So really our goal for going to Africa was to encourage those men, to meet them, to know their families, to know their churches, to know their students, to see what God was doing in and through them. And thankfully, God answered our prayers, every single one. Our eyes were open to the real deal when we encountered it. There was no question, Benny Bai is the real deal. And our eyes were open to the unreal deals when we encountered them. And it was clear, it was obvious. Steve and I were very like-minded in every one of those circumstances as well. So this was the poster that greeted us in several of the places we went to. Benny, before he was a pastor, was a graphic designer. Benny, that's what he did for a living. He worked in a print shop, and he is a wizard with Corel Draw and with Adobe, whatever the Adobe product is, and he does all the graphic design stuff. So we encountered those everywhere we went. Every church we went to had those. All right, I'm going to just show you some, geographically some of the places we went to and the people we met and the things we did. Of course, started off in Texas, and then Steve started off in Tulsa, but we met in Minneapolis. And you all know where Minneapolis is, but I don't have to spend a lot of time there. I'll remain there as long as I remained in the airport. That was long enough to run to the next gate. And then from there, it was across to Amsterdam. The flight, come on, there we go. Seven time zones east to the Netherlands, landing in Amsterdam. And there we had much longer. We had 8 hours in the Amsterdam airport, and which was fine. We actually needed the time. This 8 hours was fruitful because it gave Steve and I time to kind of chart out and plan what Africa was going to be like. So it was 8 hours across the ocean, 8 hours on the ground in Amsterdam, and then 8 hours flight from Amsterdam to Nairobi, made for 24 hours, and that was once we got to Minnesota. Anyway, down into Kenya. Now, I'm hoping it's not too bright in here. Let me zoom out a little bit just to give an idea of where in Africa Kenya and Uganda are. We're looking at Eastern Africa. So people were asking about Nigeria. People were asking about kidnapped girls and stuff like that. We weren't in, that was Nigeria. That's Western Africa. And we were not on the Western side. We were on the Eastern side of Africa. So Kenya is here on the coast, south of Ethiopia and Somalia, north of Tanzania. By the way, we learned how to pronounce Tanzania. My whole life we've been pronouncing it Tanzania. And we got there and found out it's Tanzania. So Kenya and Uganda, side by side right there in Eastern Europe, Eastern Africa. And some of you already saw the Facebook comparisons, which I will also put up for you. Or maybe I won't. Ah, okay. I thought I had them here. Anyway, each one of these countries is smaller than Texas. So if you just want to have an idea of the size of Africa and the size of the countries we were going to, kind of gives you an idea there. Took the time to plot, and I found, successfully, every place we stayed, every roof we slept under, and most of the churches we went to. I did a little bit of guessing on one of the rural villages we went to. I think I plotted the right building. But we stayed mainly in this area here in Nairobi, southeast of Nairobi. About an hour outside of Nairobi is Athi River, and just below Athi River then is Kitengela. This is where Pastor Benny has his church, Wisdom Palace Church. I'm going to kind of walk you through day by day the different churches we went to, the ministries we took part in. This should be about a seven-hour service. Is that okay? Everybody good with that? Maybe not. Getting off the plane was kind of fun because there was a committee in the parking lot and six or eight folks that were there. And all with smiles, with signs, with gifts, with hugs, with everything imaginable. And getting off the plane is where we learned that we don't carry anything. That I wasn't even allowed to carry my Bible into the church. that it was, everything was carried for you, that you are our guest. This is part of our hospitality. Right from the parking lot of the airport, to actually pick up a bag was an insult. It was telling your host that you didn't trust them to carry your bag or something. So, and we had a hard time with it, too, because some of the bags were heavy and some of the Kenyans were women, that we didn't want women carrying our big, heavy bags. And their culture kind of butted up against our culture, and we struggled a little bit to deal with that. But Benny is the pastor we met. And Benny, or Apostle Benny, Bai is his last name. The M is silent. All right, M-B-A-I, but it's pronounced Buy. So think B-U-Y, like we got Best Buy, there's Benny Buy, okay? Benny Buy, and he is the real deal. Benny Buy is, not only is he a printer, he makes color flyers for his church services. This is his, I don't want to embarrass our people for the church bulletin or anything, but he makes these color glossies. He does this professionally. Bumper stickers. Now let me tell you, there's probably 50 people in his church, only two have cars, but they've got bumper stickers. So I'll leave these up front, and you can look at these after class. The thing we learned right away was that Benny has a crew. He has a team. The drivers, the people helping with the bags, the young man that took all our photographs for us, the cooks, the people fixing food, everything. And it's a well-oiled machine. It is the definition of Christian teamwork. And we were so blessed to see it in action. And they were doing it not only as a realm of service, but doing it as a spiritual work of service. In other words, Regina and her sister Catherine, and some of these I'm going to mention by name, probably again and again, you'll see their pictures. They were like Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, right? And they were just, they knew that she was not just fixing meals for pastors to eat, but that was her service as unto the Lord. And she counted it as a blessing to lay up treasure in heaven in doing that. So, all right. Well, this gives you an idea on the geography and where we went. Probably the Kumpa Church, this was on Thursday. I tell you, we hit the ground. We left here on Tuesday. We got there on Thursday. It was about 28 hours later. It was 6 a.m. in the morning, Thursday morning. We got to the hotel by 9, and there was a full day in front of us. And so we got 1 hour sleep. We slept from 9 to 10, and then they picked us up. We went back into Nairobi, spoke in a church, presented grace notes, did an awful lot. Kumba was the next day, and this village is part of the Maasai tribe. And thankfully, there was another place they were going to take us, a little village called Orienye, but it was not available. Sometimes the road gets washed out, and it's hard to get there. And they decided, well, this little village here is fairly close to the main highway and really not far off the main highway at all. So if we go there, then we'll have the Maasai tribe come to us. And that's what they did. And so the Maasai tribe came. It was a presentation of grace notes. Benny had done some training among the Maasai a year ago that had kind of been on a hiatus, and he was hoping to resurrect it. And the day that we spent there did just that. The day that we spent there not only resurrected it, but found a new grace notes trainer, somebody that Benny can work with, a native Maasai man by the name of Pastor Paul, and a facility there in this village that's a central place for them to come to. And it was really a fruitful day on that occasion. The Maasai are the tribe that you see a lot in the movies or in some of the things on TV and whatnot. They do some of the traditional dances and they teach you how to throw a spear. And I didn't do that. Other things. But like I say, they didn't take us all the way out to that village. They kept us here pretty close at Kumba or Kumpa. Run through some of these pictures here. This was after 1 hour of sleep. They got us up at 10 o'clock. They took us back into Nairobi, and we met in this church. That's Moses Utunga, by the way, another one of the Grace Notes men. And he was introducing Grace Notes to some people that had never been a part of Grace Notes before but had heard about it and wanted to know more about it. And so This was the first place that we spoke, offered a prayer and spoke. This older man was named Matthew and was really kind of the elder pastor of the group, held in a lot of reverence by the folks that were there, some of the pastors that were there, and some of the church members that were there. Steve spoke longer than I did, actually, in this first church, and gave them an exhortation out of, I don't remember now the passage that he used. And most of it was in English with a slight interpretation. Moses provided that. When we got to, that was common in Kenya and Uganda. In Zambia, it was all English with no interpreter at all in either Kabwe or Lusaka. It was maximum English in Zambia. And then the obligatory group photo at the end. Everywhere we went, there was a group photo before we could leave and get back in the car. And you can spot the two white people in the picture. And it was fun. It was absolutely fun. And so many of the places we went, that was us, you know. And kids, little kids would come running out and pointing at us and calling us Mzungu, right? It means white person, you know. And so we learned that shout really quickly and little kids pointing. So, but it was fun. It wasn't mean or anything. It was kind. Worked out well. This particular church location is interesting. It's in a neighborhood in Nairobi that we had kind of sort of told Joy we weren't going to go into. Joy was Steve's wife, is Steve's wife. And we had declared that we were going to stay out of the slum areas, the danger areas. There are some Somali slums in Nairobi that really foster a lot of the Somali terrorism and the Muslim violence and so forth. And we really did intend to stay out of those areas, but we took some wrong turns, and in the back seat, Steve and I weren't exactly sure where we were going. That's the other thing, that they all drive on the left. It's Kenya, Uganda, Zambia. It's weird sitting in the back seat and looking, and the driver's in front of you on the right. Or on the few occasions we sat in the front seat, sitting in the front left with no steering wheel in front of you. It's the strangest thing in the world. And the guy to your right's got the steering wheel in front of him. That took the longest time to get used to. So we took some wrong turns. It was hard to find this place. It's behind a gate, and it's not labeled very well. They actually meet in somewhat secrecy because there's a slum area up here, there's a slum area over here, and then right here, this intersection, is the Gikomba Market, where a police station had a bombing on May 16th. In fact, right there. And so we were parked right here, waiting to turn left, and you can take a free left on left, I guess, I don't know. Anyway, that's the corner where the bomb went off on May 16th, and they showed us the crater, and it was a nice-sized hole in the ground. And Steve and I knew something was going on when Moses, the driver, and Benny, the pastor, both in the front seat, they started praying very furiously. And we couldn't hear what they were saying, and we weren't sure what language they were praying in, but we picked up on the fact that they were praying in the front seat, and so we joined them. We started praying in the back seat and said, well, whatever neighborhood we're in, the Lord's here too, and he's in charge. And so we got through this area and got up to here where this Single Mothers Association of Kenya is actually located. And on their campus, behind their fence, behind their locked gate, is where they have provided a building, a tin roof type structure where the church could meet. So that was Thursday. We finally got back to Kitengela by about 11 p.m. that night. And these first five nights are the brutal ones. They were the ones where we were up at 5 or 6 and weren't back to the hotel until about midnight or thereabouts, 11 o'clock or midnight. Anyway, so that was day one. Most of these photos we're going to make available in different albums. Let me see here. And organize them by day and by... I've got Kenya Day 1, Kenya Day 2, Kenya Day 3, and then a Kenya-Uganda travel day. On the ground, basically 5 days in Kenya, 4 days in Uganda, and 5 days in Zambia, with travel days in between. And This was the church in Kumba, the church building, that is. Remember, the church is not a building. And I think that was my phone taking the weird pictures. The camera took better pictures. There's Gabriel putting up the flags, the Kenya flag and the American flag and the banner. There were banners everywhere, complete with the Grace Notes logo. Did you notice that? The circular Grace Notes logo with the eagle. They took that off the Grace Notes website. Gabriel's the tallest Kenyan I've ever met, and he was one of the graduates at the graduation ceremony on Friday, day three. I don't know who brought the popsicles. Somebody was handing out candy. We loved these flowers, hyacinth flowers or something. They hated them. We thought they were nice, and they smelled nice and looked nice, and they called them weeds. Some of the pastors there in the Grace Notes training, you see the chalkboard there. Pastor Benny and Pastor Paul. That's Rebecca on the left, and Irene, I think, on the right. A couple boys shouting Muzungu at us. So, we can exit that now. Again, the purpose was to encourage these men in the Grace Notes training, and that was definitely happening. Benny was the real deal. His students were clearly familiar with the material. They were using the material themselves. They themselves had become Grace Notes teachers everybody, every student, his associate pastor to his the younger men in training, even Gabriel, the real tall guy. He likes to hang stuff up because he can reach the high spots, but he also reminds me of Dan. He sits back there at the recording desk and keeps the microphones all working. But then you ask him about Grace Notes and ask him about one of the doctrines, and he'll just tell you. He'll tell you the scriptures, he'll tell you the doctrines, he'll walk you through it, and he's very, very familiar with the material. We also have video. Took too much HD video, but hours of video, and that I won't show you today. But they're good. They contain some of the testimonies, the men that spoke as to what they learned, the women that spoke as to what they learned. Some were just so overwhelmed, in Zambia especially, that they didn't even know what the difference was between BC and AD, you know, and things like that. Or they say, I never heard of Alexander the Great before. And they're learning things in their history about the Bible to connect their Bible studies with real life. And it was just having an impact, I think, in everything that they were doing. So, goodness. Day three was the graduation. And this is just comical. The Grace Notes graduation. By the way, I have the complete list. I meant to scan this. They had diploma students, they had advanced certificate students, and basic certificate students. And they put all of them in robes. They graduated all of them. They had particular certificates and ceremonies for the top seven in their class. And they were ranked in order, too, by how their grades had come in. And that's what you're going to see in these pictures. And these are Grace Notes students, and they went through the same stuff you guys have gone through. Doctrine 100, Doctrine 200, Ruth, Titus, all those classes. And they put us in robes. And there's Catherine on the left and her sister on the right. Now, that's Mary and Martha right there. Mary was always in Bible class. Martha was always in the kitchen. And they put us in these robes, color-coded. Benny and Steve had the bachelor degree level. The roads are color-coded based on your educational achievement. And they provided me the pinnacle. They gave me the PhD equivalent robes with the red and the yellow and the troubadour hat that elicited a lot of amusement. Gave us some orange juice before we started, so I proposed a toast. And then they lined us up. It was quite a procession. The procession was remarkable. You guys would have loved it. It actually consisted, we started outdoors, and we had to parade through the village. We had to parade around the church building to come around to the front of the church building, the main entrance. And it allowed for all the villagers to observe and to stand and to watch and cheer and take pictures and whatever. So we were lined up and walking around. The bishop that kind of led the proceedings, he was very musical and had a lot of rhythm. This is one of the handful of places I was allowed to carry my own Bible, actually. And worked our way into the building, worked our way up to the front, filed in. And then you've got about 100 pictures here of different things as we were seated in much pomp and ceremony for the, that was the singing quartet. There's the bishop. And quite a day. They actually had a political officer there from the district, somebody that represents their county. He was there and acknowledged the proceedings. And then this is Benny giving his comments to the graduating class. It's Benny's wife in the center there. Her name is Mary. And then on the right is Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, if you read Romans chapter 16. Rufus is the associate pastor at Wisdom Palace, and great English skills. He was my main interpreter. Steve's main interpreter was also named Steve, so we put the two Steves together, and then I had Rufus as my interpreter. Anyway, there's about 100 of these kind of pictures, and we can probably save time on that. It was very touching, though, when Benny brought his parents out. Benny's father and mother were present for the ceremony, and it was a blessing to actually meet them, and very honoring to them. Many of you have seen some of these on Facebook already. I'm sure they will haunt me for some time. But it was a day. I tell you, because of the seriousness with which they took it, that this Grace Knows training was equipping them for a life of ministry in the Word of God. And some of them had college degrees. Some of them had other seminary training. And they said, the stuff we had was nothing like Grace Notes. The stuff we had before did not equip us to teach the Word of God like Grace Notes taught us to teach the Word of God. So, I tell you, by the time we got to days 4 and 5, we were exhausted. In fact, on Monday, we revolted. Steve and I said, Benny had another day planned for us in Nairobi, and we said, we can't do that. You know, we're going to sleep till noon. And so we woke up again at noon on Monday, and Benny had actually rescheduled everything from Nairobi into Kitengela and put two of the men on buses to bring them to Kitengela, and we met them there, kind of a thing. All right, well, I want to save time for questions. Kenya wasn't the only country we went to. Let me just say the last thing about Benny. Benny, we went into his office. We saw his Grace Notes operation. This was what was amazing. He had, of course, we all have My Documents, right, in our Windows directory. He had My Documents with all the Grace Notes files, and then he had a parallel folder where he had made copies of all the Grace Notes files, and he made his own versions of all the Grace Notes files, because he calls his ministry the Wisdom School of Ministry. And so he has all the Grace Notes files and all the Wisdom School files. And then what he does is he takes those and he shrinks the text way down. He asked us, he said, I think that Papa Warren must be old. He said, because he makes the text so large. We said, well, maybe. And so what he does, though, he shrinks the text way down. He takes all the margins out. He puts as much text on a page as he can, because he's dealing with the cost of paper and he's dealing with the cost of ink, and he's trying to minimize it for himself and for his students. And he's got the skills to do all this. It's remarkable. And then and he puts all the booklets together himself. He'll put 10 Grace Notes classes into one bound material. He combines all the 10 quizzes into one course exam, and just reformats it so he puts maximum ink on each page. He also modifies his printers. The inkjet printer, he takes the toner cartridges out. He takes the ink cartridges out because he says it's too wasteful. It costs too much to put new cartridges in. And he has his own direct ink system that feeds by these tubes, the yellow, the magenta, the cyan, and all the ink flows through these tubes into the printer. And the moment you do that, you void the warranty, but he doesn't care about the warranty. He does better maintenance on the printers than the warranty service does anyway. And so he's buying all of his ink by the liter. He's buying all of his ink, and he's just doing it all himself. It's a marvelous system that he has. And Steve and I were just absolutely amazed. The one thing he was disappointed in was the fact that the printer only prints on one side of the piece of paper, and he could cut his paper down in half if he could duplex the paper. And he recommended a particular model that he was looking at that would duplex the paper, and we were very blessed to be able to provide that before we left the country, the funds to purchase that. So anyway, it takes 10 Grace Notes units and minimizes the amount of paper necessary for all of these. All right. There's more. I spoke 3 times in that church on Sunday, but I think I'm going to run out of time if I spend the whole hour on Kenya. Uganda was our second location. And for here, you fly into Entebbe. It's a short flight, about an hour, across Lake Victoria, by the way. And it's remarkable. The airport sits on that little strip of land out there, jutting out into the middle of Lake Victoria there. It's kind of interesting. You're looking at the lake as you're flying in, wondering, you know, is there land under there? Yeah. And then you drop, and okay, there's an airport here. Because it kind of at first looked like you were landing on Lake Victoria. But this was our second country, Uganda. And it was different. It looked different. The feel was different. It was green. Vegetation everywhere. Agriculture everywhere. Miles and miles of fruit stands and all kinds of things. Uganda was pretty amazing, and our driver was our biggest blessing. We had a young man named Alan recommended to us, and we were so thankful for him. Alan blessed us time and time again, and we had him from the time we landed to the time we took off, and he kept us out of some trouble, and he did some interpretation for us and exposed some things for us. He was an excellent helper, and we're very thankful for that. And a believer, knows the Lord, did not know anything about Grace Notes until we met him, and then he got to learn quite a bit about Grace Notes while we were there. Anyway, we met some pastors in Kampala and Masaka and Barara, stayed at the Oxford Inn in Barara, then came down here. I didn't realize how close to Rwanda we were until I got back home and started looking on the map, and because we were down here in this kind of mountainous region, on some roads that a Toyota Camry has no business driving on. That I was convinced we were stuck in a jungle at some point, that car was not going to come out of there. But it did. And this was where we encountered some of the conflict. We encountered a demoniac, a deaf-mute boy that was very frightening, and offered up some prayers as quick as we could and got in the car. And he started licking the windows, and we left. There were some other things, some other conflict. This is where we exposed some non-Grace Notes training that was masquerading as Grace Notes training took place in this part of Uganda. So keep that in your prayers. The next morning, we came back to our hotel in Barara and spoke to the man and said, "We're leaving town. We're done. And this is a fraud, and we're not going to be a part of it." And he confessed. And he asked for our help. We told him we'd pray for him, and I ask you to pray for him. All right? This is not gossip or slander or anything. He requested prayers on his behalf, and we said we would. All right? So lift up the believers in Barara, and in particular, a man with his wife and 7-month-old girl. That little girl was the sweetest little thing, and kind of had fun holding her. Made me want to be a grandpa. But anyway. But what it did allow us to do was to leave Barara a day early and spend an extra day in Masaka, and I'm glad we did because we found 2 good men here. We found Freddie and Gerald, and we spent the time with them. We went to each of their churches. This is where we ate sugarcane right out of the ground. This is where we ate avocado right off the tree. The avocado was the size of a watermelon, filled both hands. The pit of the avocado was the size of one of our normal avocados here. It was just a monster avocado. They don't plant. He took the pit when we were done and just chucked it into the jungle. You know, that's basically what they do. We say, well, don't you have to bury it or water it or weed? Or, and they just laughed and said, no, we throw it in the jungle. Okay. So that was Masaka. Had a sweet, that's where we finally got our laundry done after the first day. That was a little amusing. The girl, Maggie was her name. She was a little bit apologetic because our stockings and our panties weren't quite dry. That's the way she put it anyway. So so Steve and I put our stockings and our panties in the back window of the car and allowed them to dry as we drove back to Kampala. The toughest thing was the British English. The British English was the toughest part. Besides driving on the left side of the road and some of that, some of their expressions, we had a boot instead of a trunk. We had any number of things. It made me think of Linty a lot. So, but there's good grace notes men, real men, the real deal. Freddie, Gerald, Martin Wandira in Kampala. These are, and Martin is a humble man. He never got past seventh grade. Everything he's learned since seventh grade has been self-taught from the Bible and doing grace notes. And Steve and I were both, in fact, we got a good video of Martin offering his testimony to Warren. Well, a lot of the video we took was just kind of personal to Warren. But it was a delight to be there in Kampala. We tried to find a Benny clone, somebody in Uganda that could do the kind of printing that Benny does in Kenya, and it's just that there's only one Benny, and he's in Kenya. But the idea, because Benny is offering to print for any Grace Notes pastor who wants Grace Notes material. A lot of the men were struggling with their printers, struggling to put notes, saying, if you're going to put a Grace Notes thing together for 50 students or 30 students or however many students, that's a lot of printing. It's a lot of paper. It's a lot of toner. And Benny's got a system that does it for pennies on the dollar, and he's offered to do that. Any Grace Notes pastor that wants Grace Notes material, if they bring the paper, he'll print whatever they want, and he donates the ink himself. So that was a grace provision from Benny in Kenya, and we were hoping that maybe something similar might take place in Uganda. That's an ongoing prayer request, so please lift that up as well. Our driver, by the way, Alan, we asked him, well, what do you do for work? When you're not driving Americans around and keeping us out of the jungle, what do you do? And he said he operates a business center in Entebbe. He has his own business. It's an internet business center in Entebbe, and he does photocopies and printing and scanning and offers internet service for people in Entebbe. And we toured his shop, actually. I walked in there and saw he had six or seven different booths, and people sat there and paid by the hour for their internet access and for their megabyte downloads and things like that. So we asked him to be in prayer that if perhaps he would want to have a realm of service, that there could be some printing opportunities for him there in Uganda. So 5 days in Kenya, 4 days in Uganda, and then it was Zambia, our third and final country. And this required a hop to Kenya, a hop to Malawi, and then a final hop into Lusaka, Zambia, which is down here. By the way, on the drive through Uganda is when we crossed the equator. We crossed it twice, going and coming. We stopped, long line of cars that stop on the highway, and you get out and you take a picture. They've got a monument on both sides of the road and a circular thing and a yellow line that's painted on the ground. Like, I was disappointed it didn't go all the way around the planet, but they had a yellow line painted on the ground and a thing. And so Steve and I stood side by side. I was in the northern hemisphere. He was in the southern hemisphere. And that was kind of fun. Zambia, and we'll stop it here. This is about as far as we got. Kabwe in the north, not really that many kilometers, but it still took 2.5 hours to get there, and with the road conditions and the traffic stops and the police inspections and some of the other things that take place to go from point A to point B. You know, think driving from here to Bastrop, all right, but taking 2.5 hours to do it because of police checkpoints and bad roads and trucks and traffic and everything else. And an astronomical price of gas. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable price of gas that makes a one-way trip $80 to get to Bastrop. Okay, so that's something else. But here is where we met Pastor Gabriel, and he's probably the one we've known the longest. Pastor Gabriel Nosofa, his picture's out there. We've got the photographs out there in the foyer. Central Baptist Church of Cobway, we got to speak at that Sunday morning. The blessings of him, his wife, their children, their family, the church family, that was a real blessing. The Grace Notes courses that he's teaching. I think Benny has more younger men that are going to be pastors someday, that are going to be, that are his associate pastors now, they're younger men. He's got a few older ones. I think Benny, you know, when you look at the graduation pictures, there were some folks that have been pastors for a while. Gabriel's got 20 men that have been pastors for quite some time, but they've never had the training that the Grace Notes is providing them. And so they're also under a bit of a deadline. Zambia passed a law last year that requires all of their pastors to be trained. And they're cracking down on what they perceive as fraud with untrained pastors in their churches. And so it's kind of become very urgent in Zambia right now that that these pastors get training. And Gabriel, the work that he's doing is really a big part of that. We have testimony after testimony after testimony. We put on video for Warren to watch of these folks declaring how thankful they were that they were getting the biblical training that they've never had before. And some of them are seminary graduates, but they didn't get the training in their seminaries that they're getting in Grace Notes. And they will testify to that time and time again. Let's see. I haven't shown you any of the Uganda pictures yet, have I? Yeah, there's no point in showing those. This is where the demoniac was. They filled a place with 300 people, and none of them knew why they were there. They were just there because there were Americans in the village, and they were told to pack the place out, and so they did. All right, there's Gerald, Pastor Gerald, and his children, a boy, a girl, and a boy. No, two boys and a girl. And he named them all based on the Jehovah compound names from the Old Testament. So you know Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. His oldest son is Jireh. All right. And then Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The second child is named Shammah. And then Jehovah Shalom, the littlest one is named Shalom. And so all of this pastor's kids were named after the Jehovah compound names. That little girl was the one that when we started eating sugarcane, boy, she showed us how to do it. He was chopping it down, and as soon as he got the knife out and started chopping down the sugarcane, his three-year-old, she knew what was coming up, and she was ready for it. It's sweeter near the root, by the way, so if you chop it into four or five different pieces, try to get the piece that was closest to the ground. And that was the avocado. All right, so those were the Uganda Day 2 pictures. This was mostly video, not as many of the still photos. But there's Pastor Martin Wandira. I told you, the very humble man that we met in Kampala. This was at the Sheraton Hotel in downtown Kampala, the most modern place we saw, I think, in the whole Uganda experience was at the Sheraton. And on the right, that was our driver. That was Alan, the one with the Internet Business Center, the one that may provide some printing capacity. So. And then finally, Zambia. Let me get some of those pictures up. Zambia had shopping malls. Zambia was probably the most Western. This was the lineup after church was over. When church was over, we could probably try to do something like that here. Church was over, and I say the closing prayer. And when I say the closing prayer, the guy comes up to help take my Bible off the pulpit, and then he walks me to the door. And then another guy comes over, and he walks Steve to the door, and then Pastor Gabriel to the door. And we stand right outside the door. And it's almost like a wedding receiving line is what it really is, okay? And then, so the three of us are lined up, and then everybody that files out, they shake our hand, And they go and they shake my hand, Steve's hand, Gabriel's hand, and then they take the next spot in line. And then the next guy comes out, and then there's four people in line, five people in line. And then by the time the whole church is out, everybody is in this one long circular kind of oval line, and everybody has shaken everybody's hand. And then you just have a final prayer that I didn't understand, and then a kind of a farewell after that. So that was the departure process, and here we're lined up doing that. That was one of our drivers, that's Solomon, who had a great sense of humor. I asked him, he mentioned trying to get home before it got too late and called his wife to let her know that what time he was going to be home. And I said, just one wife? Anyway, he thought it was funny. I'm not sure what I was thinking there. That's right. This group, these are some of the pastors. The first class we went to, there were 20 of them. And out of the 20 Grace Notes students, 12 of them were pastors, 4 of them were deacons, and the other 4 were women and different things. And some of their testimonies were amazing. The lady in blue in particular, her testimony was powerful. You know, what her life was like before she got saved, horrible. And the shame but now she's a believer and now she's in the Word and now they call her Pastor Jenny because she's not a pastor, but she knows so much about the Bible that everybody calls her Pastor Jenny. And she just was very, very thankful for the Grace Notes teaching. Pastor Gabriel's little sister, she's the church treasurer. Anyway, that's the group of Grace Notes students there in Kabwe, Zambia. That's Gabriel's son. So, all right. I want to make sure I have time for questions. I don't know. Let me just throw out for some questions. There was some more I was going to say. Well, really, what struck us was that these Grace Notes courses are effective, that they are bearing fruit. There's another slum we went to in Lusaka. I should show you where Pastor Enoch, his church. Dirt roads, no water, no, forget indoor plumbing, there's not even outdoor plumbing, there's one well that 10 homes will share kind of a thing. But the blessings of these courses and what the benefit that these folks are having in taking the Grace Notes courses, the reverence they hold to Papa Warren, they're constantly calling him Papa Warren, Papa Warren. And it's not always understood. It doesn't always translate so well. In fact, one place in Kampala, there was a lot of confusion between Warren Dowd and Rick Warren, the purpose-driven Warren. And so at one point, I was introduced as Warren's pastor, and there was a loud ooh through the, because they were imagining that, you know, Rick Warren, the big multimillionaire purpose-driven, you know, guy, that I was his pastor kind of a thing, and sparked a great big ooh in the room. Yeah, some things just don't translate. I think moving forward, though, I think the biggest thing we can do, I came back from Africa with 30 Facebook friends that I didn't have before, and I think the best thing is with these pastors, with these assistant pastors, these church leaders, this young man, Peter, I didn't even talk about Peter, he was Regina's son. He wanted to know if I drove a Ferrari. He's got kind of different ideas of what America is like based on web pages he's visited. I think the best thing we can do is maintain a correspondence, to maintain an encouragement ministry towards them. We're not telling them what to do. We're not running their churches for them. We're not paying them to run their churches, kind of a thing. But the encouragement we can offer when they have questions, Pastor Enoch was very humble. We were talking about his Sunday message. He had a message from Proverbs 25, and he asked me for what I do when, you know, on a certain passage. And I said, well, I'm only on Proverbs chapter 1 right now, but anyway, it was a sweet fellowship in the Word, and that's what we want to maintain. We want to maintain what Steve and I were kind of envisioning for the next generation of Grace Notes is that we would have not only providing curriculum and providing certificates and providing assistance like that, but encouragement assistance and providing a real regular correspondence and a regular fellowship and a regular blessing. To me, that's the application of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, that to know these men is the best thing that we can do, is to offer them that encouragement and that correspondence. So keep that in your prayers as well. We really realize that that Grace Notes has grown larger than just a single person operation, that's what it's been and can't be that any longer. And as Warren prepares to hand it off, we're going to need a full team. We're going to need not only executive leadership. It's going to require hands-on with a lot of technical skill for website, for email. It's going to require a lot of proofreading, a lot of editing. It's going to require some course design, some quiz design. It's going to require snail mail postage and things that go into the jails that don't have internet here in the States. There's just a lot that could be done, that should be done, but it's going to require a team to do it. And so that's what we're praying for, that in the coming weeks and months that there may be brothers and sisters here or in Tulsa or in different churches that are going to want to be a part of that endeavor to take Grace Notes into the next generation. I know Steve Arnold's been praying about it. I know my son's been praying about it. Bob's been praying about it. I know many others have been praying about it as well. This is something that we believe that the Lord has not closed the door. We think that He's opened it wider than ever before. We just need to identify who the servants are going to be that are going to be a part of that moving forward. So if that's something that interests you, come talk to me. Let me know, and we'll be praying together about that in the coming days and weeks and months as that handoff takes effect. All right, questions? Yes, sir. Microphone, I suppose. All right, Mr. Weaver here with her. Okay. I see what you did there. You avoided the camera. Nice.
What was a simple message that you presented to each group, or, you know, the common theme that you and Steve blessed the congregations with when you talked to them?
Mostly, it was a couple of different things. For my part, it was a lot of times it was gifts, ministries, and effects from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. But also it was David being told no, that you can't build the temple in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And that one I actually taught in three different churches in three different countries. And I thought maybe Steve was going to get bored listening to it all three different times. But it was learning how to accept the no answer from God when He has a better plan than we do. And it wasn't against David. There was nothing wrong with David wanting to build a temple. It was a great idea. But God knew better because He had it designed for Solomon to build. And so that message, it went across to all three different churches, or to three different churches in three different countries. And it came from, basically came from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Other questions? Carol.
So you said y'all had the stops, checkpoints along the drive. What? Why? I mean, was that normal? Is that common whenever you're driving?
Kind of seemed like it. I don't know. Maybe they were on increased terrorism alert. There were some other things going on politically in Kenya, politically in Zambia. Not so much in Uganda. There were a few, but not as many in Uganda, checkpoints. There was one sign made me laugh in Kenya. It said, corruption-free zone, next 1 kilometer. And it said no bribing of police officers. But it was only for the next 1 kilometer, you know. Once you got past that, I guess it was back to... And I thought, well, shouldn't that be around the whole country, you know? But that's, it's a different world. It's a different world there. And we, you just kind of learn what needs to get paid and when. Yeah. I meant to take a picture of that sign, and I didn't get a picture of that sign. Okay, Cynthia gets another one. There were also some no photography signs, and I love taking pictures of no photography signs. It's actually a hobby of mine.
Do they need any other equipment or books, Bibles, or anything that's publishable? Or
Bibles are always in need, and there are provisions. In fact, with Biblica, we've got a good source to provide Bibles in those languages.
In those languages, okay.
In those languages.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Okay, behind you.
This is an admin question, mm-hmm. but it's one that needs to be addressed. Can we earmark money that we give to the church, possibly for an Amazon card or an Amazon gift certificate for the paper or ink or the business aspect of that, or do you know?
Probably not so much. I think they can buy what they can buy locally, and they can buy it better than we can buy it at Amazon or buy it here and ship anything over there.
Okay.
Benny enforced that upon us several times, that rather than us buying stuff and shipping stuff, that it was much better that he made the purchase himself locally with his contacts and things there.
Okay, thank you.
And most of the folks we met didn't know what Amazon.com was. I was stunned. They also, by the way, I mentioned this in every church. I said, I feel a real kinship with Kenya, a real kinship with Uganda. Every place we went had been a British colony at one point, and they were all celebrating their 50th birthday. They were all independent in 1964. They're all turning 50 this year, all right? Like, all beautiful things that turn 50 this year. And I shared with them, I said, well, I feel a real kinship with you because the United States used to be a British, you know, 13 British colonies that became independent, became the United States of America. Nobody knew that. Nobody knew that, and 2 men called me a liar. Said, no, that's not right. Said, yes. There were 13 British colonies that fought for independence. There were 6 or 7 others that stayed loyal to England, and today the rebels are called America, and the loyalists are called Canada, and that's just kind of what happened in the original British colonies on the North American continent. And anyway, nobody knew that. And I'm sure they Googled it after I left or whatever, but... I found that shocking. Okay. Radley or Linty?
Who's yeah, that? I was wondering when you and I had talked, you had mentioned what country was it that had, it was more than half was children? Can you kind of describe how that was?
Yeah, Uganda is mostly children. More than 50% of the population is under 18 years of age. And it's probably not far from that in Kenya either. But yeah, the majority of the Ugandan population is children.
And didn't you say there was just a ton of orphanages mm-hmm. and situations like that? Did you get to see a lot of that or just hear about it?
We saw quite a bit. We saw in the slum areas, we had some beggars. We had some, they called them urchins. They had some kids that wanted money and food and whatever. Yeah, we saw a fair amount of that. Okay, Linty?
It's not unusual that they wouldn't have heard about the 13 colonies. I had never heard about them before I came here.
Is that
ever.
Right?
I
okay.
had no idea.
And you lived in Kenya.
And I lived in Kenya. Uh-huh. I lived in Africa all my life, but I never heard that.
Uh-huh.
But the thing with Uganda, do you see any animals?
We did not go to any of the game parks. We did not see
the
lions
anywhere.
And giraffes and elephants. And all that we saw was just statues and...
When I was living in Kenya, we went to Uganda one time up to Entebbe and up to Kampala. It was just before Idi Amin came in. Idi Amin slaughtered every single animal in Uganda, every single one. That's why those kids are without parents. They were all taken off to go fight somewhere.
Mm-hmm. They still talk about Idi Amin. The president they have today has been president since 1986, and our driver has never known another president his entire life.
Right.
And they love the guy. They love him. He keeps getting reelected, basically because he's not Idi Amin. Mm-hmm. You know, that's his campaign slogan. But I don't think even lately they've even bothered having elections because he's just going to win anyway. You know, he's been president since 1986. They love him. His picture's in all the hotels and everywhere. So, No, we saw some dogs and some cats and said, well, this is boring. I can't tell people that. We saw a cockroach that was bigger than anything I'd ever seen in Texas. I took a picture of that with my phone. But no lions, no gorillas. All right, Shannon, and the other Shannon, both Shannons.
Sorry, one more question. Is Grace Notes centralized in any place, or is it just through the internet that...
Grace Notes is not a church. Grace Notes is not a building. Grace Notes is not anywhere because it's on the internet. Grace Notes is everywhere.
Okay.
That's the nature of Grace Notes, yeah.
Great, thank you.
We actually said that several times in part of our spiel. Yes, ma'am.
So what was the food like over there?
It was, it was good. In the, I'm very thankful for Mary and Martha and the cooking they did. Some of it, they told us what it was. Some of it, they didn't tell us what it was. We actually knew how to eat the ugali. We had some of that. It was this dough thing, and you press your thumb down, and you scoop up the stuff. And we had some of that. We think we had goat, but we weren't sure. And then we got scared, and we stopped eating. It was different. In Uganda, they advertised, we were at a place that was recommended to us. They had the, on the menu, it said Texas chili burger. And this was like, I'd already been in Kenya for 5 days. This is my first day in Uganda. And I saw the menu, Texas chili burger. So I ordered it. I said, hey, I'm from Texas. And sounds good. Well, it wasn't what you thought. It was the patty was actually a chicken patty. And it was on a bun, and what chili doesn't mean what you think. I mean, chili is like a Tabasco sauce. It's a red, peppery sauce that reminiscent of Tabasco, and that's what they. So that's that was that night. But we went over. We had some Clif Bars, and they were handy to have at the hotel when we got back. All right, behind you there, Joseph has a question.
Well, about this one group, which was like counterfeit, what exactly were they teaching?
Nothing, actually. They put on a show. They filled a place with 300 people, but there was no Grace Notes teaching going on at all. They passed out some notes. This was supposedly the fourth or fifth class that they'd had in this one particular group. But first of all, he had a hard time finding it. And that was our clue. We're like, why are you having such a hard time finding it if you've been here four or five times before? And then when he finally found it and all the people were there, they were handing out the notes and nobody knew what they were looking at. They had never seen a Grace Notes note in their life. And they were flipping pages. They were showing it back and forth to each other. No one knew what they were reading. No one knew what they were looking at. Our driver, interpreter, he actually went outside and spoke to some of the people in the town, and they were just there because they were told to be there. They needed a crowd. There was no real teaching going on. In fact, they did a little bit of Q&A. The man taught a little class on eternal life. I was thankful for that. Said, hey, there could be a gospel in this if it's a class about eternal life. But no one could really give him a definition of what eternal life was. And they had some scary definitions of what eternal life is, like not smoking, not drinking, being a good person. And so we learned very quickly that there was no real class going on there at all. Yep. But it was a crowded room, a lot of people. All right, Al, and then Carmen.
Do you think at this particular point that group might now actually get started, or was that just a total front and it's never going to be anything?
Yeah, it was about 2 years of fraud. Yeah, there is no class there or any of the other classes that supposedly existed, and he confessed to that when we discussed it with him. Yes, ma'am.
I was just curious to know how was the population from the Christianity or Muslim.
Mostly Christian, but I tell you, they're serious about it. They know they're on the front lines. They know that there are mostly Somali Muslims, and they're faced with violence. They're faced with bombings. They're faced with, in fact, after we got back, there was an attack that killed some 48 last week. So yeah, they're serious about it. They They're angry that the Muslims are starting schools in all these places because they're getting neighborhood village kids to go to those schools and convert to Islam. They're angry about that, and they're disappointed that they don't have more active Christian schools. So we took a lot of CEF material over, too, and left them with some of the pastors and their wives. Hopefully they can do some good news clubs and do some school activities there. Yeah. Okay, yes, ma'am.
I have two.
Okay.
First of all, Benny Bai, he goes by the title of apostle. I was curious as to why. And then second of all, did you find that a lot of the churches there were fairly non-denominational, or were they very denominational over there?
A little bit of both. Yeah, some of them are very non-denominational, but there's all your Anglicans and Baptists and those kind of groups. There's also a ton of Pentecostal groups, but some non-denominational independent groups. By apostle, they don't mean New Testament apostle. Benny hasn't seen a vision of Jesus on the Damascus Road, but it really means evangelist or missionary, really, more than anything else, that he travels and goes to various places. They mean it more in the generic sense of apostle, like you have in 1 Corinthians in a couple places. Yeah, we asked about that. We also encountered quite a bit of tongue speaking in some different venues, and that was different. We prayed hard and did some of that. We didn't do any tongue speaking. We prayed hard and waited for the tongue speaking, and then we went into the places. Yeah. And then sometimes I was clueless. There was some tongue speaking going on, and we didn't know. I didn't know if it was Swahili or if it was English, and even some of the English we learned was different English. Was some of Gabriel and Luke and some of the other interpreters. Rufus was a great interpreter. But some of the Texas expressions, they didn't have a frame of reference for some of those, and I had to work my way through some of those too. But it was just different English for some of us. And some of the accents, Gabriel was the worst. Gabriel had the hardest speaking accent to listen to. Sometimes I wanted him to write stuff down so I could read it. But it was mostly English, British English. Only once did I cross the street looking the wrong way. I stepped off the curb. I looked to the left. There was no cars coming to the left. And there could have been something coming from the right that would have hit me. But Steve pulled me back up onto the curb again. And he actually had looked to the right first before I stepped off the curb. But he let me step off just so he could yank me back. And that was when we walked back from the mall. That was a fun adventure because we let our driver leave. He was going home to his wife. And pray for Enoch. His wife is in poor health. So he left us at the mall, and it was about a mile walk back. It wasn't bad, but they just say, be back before dark, and there's a street you don't want to be on after dark. And we said, okay. And I think we made it with 6 minutes to spare, something like that. We were back before it was mostly dark. And Joy was concerned. She said, well, you went without a bodyguard? I said, well, Steve was my bodyguard. And she said, well, who was Steve's bodyguard? I was Steve's bodyguard. We were all right. And then for the first half of the walk, there were high school kids walking along, and it seemed fairly safe. But then there were fewer and fewer of them, and we started to see that the fewer and fewer of the high school kids, they were starting to walk faster and faster, like they were trying to get home before dark. And so we kind of sped up a little bit and made it back to the compound. There was a Baptist guest house compound in Lusaka where we stayed. It was very nice facility. All right, Al. We'll probably take just a couple more minutes and we'll be done by 3 o'clock. Yes, sir.
Did you get any sense of discrimination or persecution in these areas?
Discrimination or persecution by whom, against whom?
In any direction?
Not really, no. I mean, it seemed like they had freedom to run their churches, freedom to... it's probably the most restrictive in Zambia, where they have pretty fierce registration requirements and pastor training requirements. But it's not; they don't deny permits for churches that want to be churches. Yeah. Let's see, Lee, do I see another hand up? No. Ethel, no. Okay, here's another one.
I just don't understand what the point of having a fake church was. What was the reason for it? But I thought there was no money involved in. I mean, I don't understand. Well, 2 years.
Well, there are gifts that are provided, not support, not funding, not paying them to be pastors, but financial blessings that have come over the years to some of the different men. Yeah. You know what else amazes me? They carry stuff on their heads. And I don't know. I mean, just, the balance and posture and strength. You watch them walking along the side of the road, and they got a big basket on their head piled high with all kinds of stuff. And I just, wow. You know, how do you learn that? But I guess from childhood, something. Yes, ma'am.
Did you notice the children, how much children love to see white people?
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere you go, they follow along behind you. There are always children somewhere.
At the graduation, I didn't get any pictures. There were 50 kids at the graduation, and they were mobbing Steve and I like it was like Jesus in the Gospels or something. You know, they wanted to be touched.
So I'm
touching heads and hands and shaking hands, and it was a swarm, and it was fun.
Yeah. You know? When I was growing up in Africa, mm-hmm. they loved me because I had white hair, and they'd crawl all over me to touch the stuff because it's not like their hair, and they'd touch my face.
Yeah, there was some touching, some rubbing, like, is this real kind of a thing? And the kids were...
Just fascinating.
And the infant, the seven-month-old infant baby girl, her name is Blessing. She was just the sweetest little thing, and holding her, and then the 3 hours in the car each direction was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And she just kept staring at me the whole time. That was kind of fun. Well, if you have any others, just shoot me an email, and we'll see about getting these pictures posted in different folders. They're on Dropbox right now, but we'll see if we can get them maybe in the Facebook group or something with the church group or somewhere where you can see more of them. Or just send me an email, and I'll give you the link, and you can go browse the Dropbox folder yourself anyway. Is that how that works? I can send a link to browse the folder? Okay. Dan will help me figure out how Dropbox works. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for the safe travels. And Father, it is eye-opening to see what you have done, Father, because this was nothing that we promoted or tried to make happen. And you just did this, Father, and we want to be faithful with open doors. And we want to be faithful, Father, moving forward and handling things in a biblical manner, handling things with wisdom and discernment. And Father, I think building the relationships with these men, these faithful men, and their wives, their children, their families is a marvelous blessing that you provided for us this past month. So Father, we commit these things to you, asking for your wisdom and your guidance, asking that you would be at work in folks who are thinking about service or thinking about ways they can help, that this is a possibility. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.